بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, قد أفلح من تزكى. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, he has succeeded the one who has purified himself. I remind myself and you that everything good begins with purification. Life itself begins with purification, because life begins for the one who has accepted Islam, and he accepted Islam by purifying himself, his heart, his spirit, his work, his actions, his speech, from everything that relates to shirk, that everything that relates to joining somebody as partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, he purified himself and he entered the state of Islam, which is a state of protection from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything begins with that. It begins with La ilaha illallah Muhammadu Rasulullah. It begins with proclaiming and accepting and bearing witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one who grants anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La nafi wa la dharra illallah. There is no one who can give any benefit or who can cause any harm except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one who can fulfill any need except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he accepts it, and then he accepts that Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he accepts that he is the follower of that messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah wa rabbil alameen. And with this, the person purifies himself or herself, and therefore enters a state of grace which leads, insha'Allah, to the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to Jannah. The whole purpose of life is to remain within that state of grace. Having entered it, one must not do anything which takes one out of it. And therefore, the purification begins with the kalima tayyiba, with the kalimat of tayyiba, of purification. And then it must extend to our speech, to our actions, to our intentions. It must extend to every aspect of our lives, to the physical aspect of who we are, what we are, to our actions, and to the internal emotional and spiritual aspects of our lives. And this is the meaning of purification, of tazkiyah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who has done that, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ, he has succeeded. We ask Allah to make us among those who succeed. Now, the reality of life, if I look at my work as a corporate consultant, the same thing applies to organizations. Well-run organizations are those which are purified. Now, in a corporate context, when you say purification, you mean everything which does not lead to the purpose for which the organization has been created. So, any wastage of time, any wastage of resources, any wastage of money, any theft, any kind of pilferage, all of these are things which are impure from a corporate context. So in our lives, if you look at it and link it to our actions, any action that is a waste of time, which is lahu wa lahu, which is anything which has no value, or anything which is evil. So whether it's lying or cheating or backbiting and so on and so forth, things which are actual loss. So just like in an organization, you have things which are a waste, and then things which are actually, there is theft, there is pilferage, there is malpractice. Now that is actual loss. But on the other hand, there may be somebody who is not thieving, but they are wasting money, they are wasting resources. The simplest example of that is that you leave a room and you leave the light on. You leave a room and you leave the air conditioning on, or you leave the fan on. This is wastage. You are not actually stealing. I mean, there is no intention of malpractice behind that. But at the same time, it still incurs in a loss. It is still something which has no benefit, or it incurs in a loss. So one needs to purify both of these. So similarly, in our actions, we may have actions in our lives. We may be saying things which are not said with a bad intention, so they are not evil in that context, but they are definitely evil in the sense that they either have no value or they can create unnecessary trouble, and they can actually be harmful even though we didn't intend them to be harmful. So this is very important. Sometimes, for example, people who like to talk, they talk and talk and talk and talk and talk all day, and if you ask them, okay, at the end of the day, what did you actually say? Neither they know what they said, nor does anybody else know what they said, because people just went brain dead because of the amount of sound that emanated from them. So one needs to think and say, well, if I want to speak, I will speak, but if I am speaking, am I speaking something which is making sense? Am I speaking something which is necessary? Am I speaking something which is beneficial? And if I can't answer these questions for myself, then the best thing is to keep quiet, because a closed mouth cannot do any harm. Whereas once you open your mouth, then there's always a potential of doing either good or harm, and one must be sure that one must do only good. The same thing applies to actions. When we act, when we do something, we need to ask ourselves, is this a pure action? Meaning, does it emanate from a pure intention? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Innama al-amalu bin-niyat," and if the intention is pure, then is this action the best way of doing it? This is the whole point and meaning of standards. For example, you might be doing a Jummah khutbah. You come and do it. You just come and deliver a khutbah and you go home. That's khalas. That is, the work is over. But there is a better way of doing that. And a better way of doing that is to record it. A better way of doing that is to write it down. A better way of doing that is to think about the topic well in advance and announce it in advance so that people know what to expect when they come there. A better way of doing that is to, after the khutbah is over, then the recording of the khutbah and the text of the khutbah can be also sent to the people so that they have a chance to read it again, hear it again, think about it, reflect on it, and maybe there is some way of them getting back to you to ask you about it. All of this can be done without any extra effort or very little extra effort, but it adds value to the whole thing because you have taken the trouble to do all this. The same thing could have been done without it. There is no sin involved. You won't go to Jahannam if you do that. But at the same time, if you do something a little bit better, then it adds huge value to the action. I am giving you just one example. This can be applied to many other things. Now, in this context, one of the things I would like to mention is that, again, coming back to a corporate consulting work, in organizations mostly, even though in theory we all understand, we must not have wastage, we must not have pilferage, we must not have things done without counting. Usually in good times, most organizations don't do all this. Because there is enough business, there is enough sale, enough money coming in, so a little bit wasting here, there, people don't bother. But when things get bad, when the market falls, when things get tight, then one of the good things about bad things, one of the good things about difficulties, one of the good things about a hostile environment is that willy-nilly you are forced to look at yourself and say, well, what is it that we can do to tighten up? What is it that we can do to get our act together? What is it that we can do to make ourselves, to streamline our work and make ourselves more competitive, because the environment is very difficult. If we don't do that, we are going to sink and we will completely be annihilated and we will completely disappear. So in the corporate world, in the business world, hard times are actually good for organizations, because in hard times, organizations which are weak, which are wasteful, will do one of two things. Either they change their ways or they die. And this is good for everybody. Now, the same thing applies also in the religious context and also to us as human beings. So, alhamdulillah, biiznillahi ta'ala, today we as Muslims are going through difficult times. In different countries, the nature of the difficulty is different, but everybody, all Muslims everywhere, are facing and experiencing some level of difficulty in their lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease that difficulty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being oppressors and save us from being oppressed. But the reality is that all of us are facing some sort of difficulty. Now, we have a choice. We can sit and moan and groan and cry about it. Nothing is going to change because of that. Or we can say, all right, so here we are. Now, what is it that we can do to use this difficulty in our favor? So stop moaning and groaning about it and say, how can we change this difficulty into a benefit? Because this difficulty is now going to force us to look at things which otherwise we would not have looked at. This difficulty is going to force us to do things which otherwise we wouldn't have done. We would have thought, come on, it's a waste of time. Who wants to do now? No, hold on. Now, no longer a waste of time. If we don't do this, we are going to be, even if we don't get annihilated, we are definitely going to have a lot of suffering. So, let's avoid that. So, people are more amenable to looking at some difficult things and are more amenable to taking some tough decisions. So, I think this is a time when, especially those who are leaders of communities, leaders of families and so on, must take charge of this and say, this is a good opportunity. The difficulty, we didn't ask for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends what He sends, and He has His hikmah, He has the wisdom with which He sends it. But let us use this difficulty for our own benefit and say, how can I benefit from this difficulty? And therefore, this is what I encourage us to do. Let us look at ourselves and say, what is it in my life that needs to change? How can I purify my life? How can I make my life in line with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants? Because we know that the cure for difficulties begins with istighfar. It begins with seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we cannot seek the forgiveness of something we don't know. So it's not a question of saying, Ya Allah, forgive whatever it might be. We must identify and say, Ya Allah, this is what I have been doing wrong, and this is what I request your forgiveness from. And forgiveness has to be followed by tawbah, which is to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istighfar wal tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this in the Quran itself, فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا وَتُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, make istighfar and then turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that the thing that we asked forgiveness for, the thing that we asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive, this thing we will stop doing from that moment onwards. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. I ask forgiveness for something and I continue to do that thing, it makes no sense. So, istighfar wa tawbah, it begins with that. And then the second step is to foolproof the system and say, well, what is it that I can do to ensure that this thing which I was doing, which I have sought forgiveness for, and which I am now determined not to do, how can I remove this from my life? That is the second step. And the third step is to go a step ahead and say, what is it that I can now do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So I'm saying that there are two steps. One is to stop displeasing. So we are looking at, if you look at a continuum, we are on the minus side. Now, first and foremost, most important thing is to come up to zero. We have to come up to zero because we are below zero. So we've got to come up to zero, and zero is the neutral point where I'm not doing anything to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we need to go beyond this, because where is the sense in being on zero? So you're going beyond that is to say, what can I do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we come from below zero to say, what am I doing which displeases Allah? This might have to do with what I say. It might have to do with what I am doing. It might have to do with how I am earning. What I am earning, is it halal or haram? It will have to do with what I am spending. Is it on halal and haram? And so on and so forth. My relationships inside my family, outside my family, all of that. Each one of us needs to sit down and reflect about our own lives, because each one's life is different and he or she knows it best. So remove that, come up to zero, and then go ahead and say, what is it that I can do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? This is the meaning of purification. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to understand His kalam the way He intends it to be understood, and help us to live by that according to the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.